I am alone and I am searching, hungering for answers in my time. How many of you like to swim? How many of you like to hang out near water, especially on a hot July afternoon? Water is something that we are blessed with here in Central New York. Syracuse has several community pools open to the public, and there are parks such as Green Lakes and Jamesville Beach where you can hang out. Me, I like to hang out near water, but not so much in water. My family knows that if I get in the water to swim, it's not hot. It's really hot. And for years and years, I told myself that I liked water, but I didn't love it, and that's why I didn't swim. You know, I could take it or leave it. And so about 10 years ago, I entered a mini, and by that I do mean mini, triathlon. This required that I swim 800 yards in a part of Oneida Lake that is so shallow for so long that I really walked about 400 yards of it. But still, I had to prepare for this event. I ran and I biked and I had to swim. I really wanted there to be a biathlon where you could just run and bike, but they don't make those. So, swimming's not my thing. I thought I should take some swim lessons. So I signed up at the Y and I learned something about myself. It's not that I dislike water. I was terrified of it. For the first lesson in the lap pool, I realized about 1.5 laps in that I was panicking. You see, I had had two near-drowning incidents as a child. The kind where my dad dramatically kicked off his shoes and dove in fully clothed to save me. He ruined two wristwatches this way. Thank heavens he was a great athlete. I learned not to trust myself in the water. And instead of really owning up to that, I came up with this story about how I like water, but I don't really love it. As I approached the competition, I worried a lot, especially about the swimming part. I watched some films about people in the triathlons running into the lakes as they began the swim part of an Ironman or an Ironwoman triathlon. They're brutal. They are just brutal. The competitors push each other out of the way. They dive over each other. They kick. They bite. It's horrible. The race was to begin with the swim portion. How could I even start the race, I wondered. I was already scared of swimming. How would I be able to fend off my competitors? Well, as I said, this was a mini triathlon called the Iron Girl, not the Iron Woman. 800 yards of swimming, 5 kilometers of running, and 18 kilometers of biking. What I found when I got there was almost everyone was a beginner. Now, there were a few highly trained and highly competitive women, and the rest of us just let them go first. And then I decided to hang back with the rest and really let everyone else go first, because my goal was to not drown and simply finish the race. Those of us who were bringing up the rear, we were in it together. We made sure no one was hurt, no one drowned, and it was really fine. I'm not talking about anybody in particular, if you doggy paddled. I have really poor vision, and swimming without glasses is tough. I can't see where I'm going. I couldn't see the markers on the lake. But the folks around me let me know when I was getting off course, and no one minded if I just followed them so as not to get lost. That portion of the race was easier for me than I expected because I had people to help me with it. We are swimming in the stream together, some in power and some in pain. We can worship this ground we walk on, cherishing the beings we live beside, loving the spirits we'll live forever. We're all swimming to the other side. In Marty's sermon that he gave here 2 Sundays ago, he used the metaphor of being in the river together, or swimming together as a metaphor for community. And that is a creative act, this being in community. And in that creativity, God or the divine or the good is created and strengthened. To quote Marty, good or God or growth or spiritual ecstasy or whatever term works for you to represent that which is greater than yourself, which you can surrender yourself to, exists in creativity, exists in creative interaction. Being in community is not simply about being friendly and kind. It is not simply about caring for one another, bringing food when there has been an illness or death, celebrating with you when there is something to be celebrated. Being in community is the way we enact or create that which is bigger than ourselves. To quote Marty again, you can trust in the river. We can enter the lives of others with the understanding that we can learn and grow from knowing them, even when we don't like them, but only to the extent that we allow them to enter our lives. Proximity matters. Authentic spiritual interaction means snuggling up close enough to smell the other person's theological odor. That is the best phrase, Marty. I love it. Some interactions will be unpleasant. Some will be unsettling. Some will be sad. Others will be exhilarating, some breathtaking, and some transformative. We don't get to pick and choose because they all happen in the same river. That is what we are doing here. We are getting close enough to each other to smell the theological odor. We get close enough to each other to buoy one another up, to create more buoyancy. In community, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Marty also spoke a little bit about process theology and a theologian, Henry Wyman, and I found this quote from him. Inevitably, in our lives, we commit ourselves to something, whether worthy or not. The direction and intensity of our loyalties give shape and meaning to our lives. Loyalties, commitments, covenants, the promises we make to one another, these are the things that tell us to what we belong. By doing so, they tell us who we are. Making a pledge to First UU is making a commitment to First UU. We are asking you to make a commitment. We want you to be part of us. We want you to shape us just as we want to have some impact on how you are shaped also. I heard this story about a woman on a subway train in New York City. The station's crowded, and as she leaves the train, she realizes she is holding onto only one of her gloves. She looks back in the car and sees the matching one on the seat, but it is too late to rush back and retrieve it. Suddenly, as the doors begin to close, she flings the glove to the seat alongside its mate. The doors shut and the trains pull away. If you were that woman and you saw one glove left behind but could not retrieve it, what would go through your mind at that moment? Honestly, if it were me, there would be some choice words said under my breath or in my head. I would probably think it wasn't fixable and shrug my shoulders and go on my way, trying to keep my ungloved hand in my pocket to keep it warm. That is not a very generous response on my part. It's pretty understandable, but it's not generous. The woman in that story understood at a very deep level that sometimes clinging to things does not necessarily get you more things. Someone taught her such generosity that she knew it was better to toss the one glove in her hand onto the seat alongside its mate. She, in an instant, understood that someone finding one glove is most likely going to ignore it. In an instant, she understood that for someone to find two gloves, a right and a left that actually matched, that would be a gift. She could not give herself that gift, but in that moment, she knew she could give that gift to someone else. And she did not even know who that someone would be. What an act of trust. What a belief in the goodness of the universe. We are swimming in the stream together, some in power and some in pain. We can worship this ground we walk on, cherishing the beings we live beside. Loving spirits will live forever. We're all swimming to the other side. We have something phenomenal in this congregation. Our welcome is wide and it is deep. We held the Beyond the Binary conference on the 9th. One of the attendees gave us this feedback. "You're amazing. I so appreciate the work staff and ministers, lay and volunteers did to make this a hospitable, welcoming, powerful event." Or this feedback, "I love this conference. There is such a warm feeling." Or simply, "You rock." Two things that make that conference amazing. First, it's not normal. It really isn't. Most churches don't open their doors freely to trans and queer people. In this case, I think us doing something not normal is great. And more importantly, we approach the planning and hosting the conference with this question: how do we make folks feel more welcome? Because these are folks who need to be welcomed. And because we know as a congregation we're good at welcoming. We need to get a little better at inviting, but we're really good at welcoming. We want this church to grow because we know we have something great here, and we don't want to cling onto it like that one glove. We want to be ridiculous in our generosity, exuberant in our generosity, irrepressible in our generosity. And I need your help to do that. I need you to look into your heart. I want you to feel all the feels about this place, this community, as you think about your pledge. I'm going to ask two things of you. Just two things. First, and most importantly, when you think about your pledge, don't think about giving from the margin, about what is left over. I want you to think about giving from the heart, from your heart. And secondly, I want you to seriously consider upping your pledge to First UU by 10%. You have no idea how much sleep I lost over that sentence, because I know it's a serious ask. And I know that some of you can do a 50% increase because that has already happened. And I know that some of you cannot. Some in this congregation are on fixed incomes where expenses are not fixed. I know that. But remember my first ask. First, I want you to consider that whatever you pledge, it come from the heart and not the margin. I am asking you this because the process, just the process of seriously considering this will change you and change your relationship to this congregation. And I am asking for a percentage, not an amount, because we all pledge at a different level, and that is right, because some folks pledge $20 a year. That's what works for them. And what I'm asking is, for those folks, can you pledge $2 more a year? Some folks pledge $500 a year. At that level, could you afford another $50 a year? Some folks pledge $1,500 a year. At that level, could you afford another $150 a year? Some folks pledge $5,000 a year. At that level, could you afford another $500 a year? 10% is a large increase, a ridiculously generous increase. But spread over a year, it's a little different. I want you to seriously considering it. to consider it. I'm asking you to think if it's possible, to question if it's possible, to feel if it's possible. I'm asking you this because I love this place and I want to see it thrive. And there is something about the practice of being generous. It will change you. When you give more, you feel like you have more. Because to be generous, you have to be able to trust. And I know for some of you, it's not possible to increase your gifts to us by 10%. But it is possible for each and every one of you to think about it. And if you haven't pledged before, or you haven't pledged in a long time, I would ask you to start this year. If, as I believe and as Marty preached about, that God is in and created in our interactions with one another, then the more we move, the more we jostle one another, the more we stumble and catch each other, the more we talk and pray and sing and dance together, the more we surrender to the current and swim in the creativity that is the divine, the more we experience salvation in the process of being and growing in community, the more divine we become. That is what happens when we all swim together to the other side. And let me tell you, I do not ask this question to you alone. I have upped my pledge by 10%. This week, I have been canvassing some of our top givers, and I have asked them that same question: will you up your pledge by 10%? I have not been able to reach them all. I will, though. So far, we have increases, not pledges, increases in pledges of $5,110. Last year, our pledge income was about $105,000, so a 10% increase would be $10,500. We are almost halfway there at this 10% increase, and we need all of us. We cannot depend on only a few. We need all of us swimming to the other side. I know that this is a large number, and I know that it's a stretch. I know, but for the moment, don't think about the number. Think about what could be done with that money. I do not have the last say in how our budget is set out and spent. This congregation has the last say in that. But I do know I have some influence. If we make that 10% goal and raise an extra $10,500, I'm going to ask our finance team and our board to consider putting before the congregation a budget that includes $4,000 in support of local efforts to better Syracuse. $4,000 that could go to We Rise Above the Streets, or OGs Against Gun Violence, or a student-run organization that is trying to improve Syracuse. $4,000 could mean a lot to one of those organizations. Right now, I don't know what that organization would be. That is yours to choose. And in fact, that amount is yours to choose. But I'm going to put this challenge before the finance team and the board. Because if I'm going to ask you to be generous, then we as a community, as a collective, need to be generous. If you don't get to cling on to that one glove, we don't get to cling on to that one glove. We are all swimming to the other side. Let's choose to do it together in creative collaboration, creating the divine along the way. In a world without end, may this be so.